Please do be seated. There's a text that I'm sure some of you use fairly frequently. And I don't know whether you know that it comes from Paul's letter, second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 13. And it reads, it will read, if it's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And this benediction is the only Trinitarian benediction in the Bible that specifically draws the Son, the Father, and the Spirit together. What does it tell us about Almighty God? It talks of the mystery of the Trinity through the experience of grace, of love, and of fellowship. It explores who God is and what God does. And as we explore each of the persons of the Trinity, we look at the grace of Jesus. I think I've shared sometime in the past what helps me to understand what grace is. It's gifts received at Christ's expense. That may well be helpful to you to understand that grace is that free gift of God in Jesus Christ at the expense of his death at Calvary and his rising again. For the Father, we speak of the love of God the Father, our love for him and his love for us. And I'm sure you marked that verse that Sarah read for us, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. And this love of our Father God is central to the salvation which we have received in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we pray for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to be with us all. A partnership with God through the Holy Spirit, who is in us, is empowering us and enabling us. And as David reminded us last week, the power of the Spirit enables our communication to speak the language of today. To speak the language of God within the language of today. And these three words describing the attributes of God, the grace, the love, and the fellowship, are foundational to our interrelationship with God and one another. The word for grace is charis, which gives us our word charismatic, which is gifted. The word used for love is one of the four loves that we read about in the Bible: romantic love, family love, brotherly love, and this word, agape, God's divine love. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is koinonia, meaning communion in partnership with God, and we should be sharing in partnership, in fellowship, one with another as we share the bread and the wine, which I shall be bringing round the church later. So what are we recalling as we explore the words of this benediction? It's the interactive yet independent work of the three persons of God, which we will see in a moment on the screen as the role of each in the work of salvation, the who, the what, and the how of the salvation story. The Father is the who. He is the lover who initiates God's love upon his world. He has given us all the opportunity to choose to accept that love, which brings salvation to a lost and sinful and grieving world. Almighty God wants all to be saved, but many reject him. Timothy writes, God who desires everyone to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Son is what is love, the beloved of God the Father. He expresses God's love to the world through his death and resurrection. Jesus is the revealer of the Father's gift of love in his death. And it demonstrates the glory that he receives from God. And the Spirit, as I've already expressed, is the enabler. He is the how that salvation is wrought among us. He gives the experience of God's love as we become more and more sanctified, as we live our lives closer to the life that God desires for us. And the Spirit binds us together in love. And there's a wonderful chorus that we often sing, or used to sing together as a round. We shall enjoy doing so in some time, not too far distant. And the Spirit reveals the intimacy of the Father's love for the Son. For God the Father is giving of himself through the gift of God the Son, evident through the power of God the Holy Spirit working in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As Paul writes in elsewhere in Romans, he says, hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. So salvation, the work of the Father's love through the historic death of Jesus, is experienced in our lives through the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you like, he makes real the love of God in Christ. And the Spirit is the bond of love between the Father and the Son. There is a classic study by the theologian Augustine on the Trinity, who explores in some great depth this concept of God as lover, as beloved, and love itself. And there's a lovely image that comes out of this about the work of the Holy Spirit in interweaving the individual actions and attributes of the three persons of the Trinity within the one substance of God. The word is perichoresis, which brings the all-embracing nature of the Spirit into our lives as he weaves around the work of God the Father and God the Son. And what this bond of love does through the Holy Spirit is to unify the diversity of the functions of the persons of the Trinity. And I wonder whether this might speak to us about how we can work together, how we can use the gifts that God has blessed us with within this fellowship. As we look ahead to what will be perhaps challenging but great opportunity within the coming months of vacancy, may we, through the Holy Spirit, offer love to one another, be loved by one another, and enable that love to spread within our fellowship and the wider community. I imagine there are some mathematicians amongst us this morning, and I'm going to explore a little thesis that looks at the difference between addition and multiplication. So who can tell me what 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals? It's not difficult. 3! Yes, that's right. And that is not a very useful image of the Trinity. So God is not the summation of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But if we look at the product of 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1. So we have the three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, working together to give us the product of Almighty God, the substance of Almighty God. And each of these three persons, the Trinity, works with the other in the mutual act of salvation, that weaving between the Trinity and humanity. In our epistle reading from Romans 8, we read that we did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but have received a spirit of adoption. And when we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God the Father. And Paul writes elsewhere about this in Galatians with a similar argument about how we are heirs with Christ. And so when we come to faith, when we are convicted of our need for forgiveness and salvation, we make a commitment. And when we make our commitment to God, we are given the seal of the Holy Spirit. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, we are adopted by God as his children. And we know too that the Spirit helps us to pray to God. He speaks on our behalf to God, interceding according to God's will. And I think it's helpful as we think of the Trinity today, just to remind ourselves that we are praying to the Father with the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that role of the Spirit is the bond of unity between the Son and the Father, between creation, ourselves, and God himself. The differentiation between who God is and what God does is expressing the attributes of the three persons of the Trinity in the nature of Almighty God. And the diversity of each of the persons of the Trinity is an expression of the oneness of who God is, the dynamic, the indivisible God. Thomas Aquinas put it that God existing in his own natural being as the Father, God exists in his intellect as the Son, and God exists in his love as the Spirit, are only one, each of the three being one subsisting reality. Remember your multiplication. The Holy Spirit is God's empowering presence in his work of salvation, which is both past, it is present in our lives, and it behoves the future, the ongoing time between now and Jesus' return. If you like, salvation is already, but it's not yet complete. And the Holy Spirit is the future promise as revealed to us today, as we have already read. And giving us access to the Father, we also learn that he goes wherever he will. He works as he pleases, as we had in our gospel reading. Nicodemus needed to be told by Jesus that he must allow the Spirit to bring him to be born from above, of the Spirit. And so the emphasis today, I hope that we have learned, is of the unity of the three persons of the Trinity within that entity. There is one body and one Spirit, we read. Just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. So one God brings salvation through the cooperative work of the three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each of whom is God and each is not the other. And so I invite us to say together the words with which I started my sermon this morning. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.